This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again at this time on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. We're here each time at this same time. We're bringing you a series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I know, I understand as many folks are afraid or hesitant to go into the book of Revelation because they say they don't understand it. But my friend, let's just take our time and let it speak for itself. It's a gracious book, has much knowledge there, much information for you and for me. And in our last study, we were looking there, we began the study in the church of Laodicea. And we came on down and we read that letter sort of hurriedly in our last study. But let me read it to you again, take my time. The letter's found in Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now these words, my dear friends, my listener friend, these words were dictated by the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Apostle John there on the Isle of Patmos. And these verses are so rich and full. But listen to the condemnation. He says, since thou art lukewarm. Now, my friend, what is the prevailing condition of our religious world today? Lukewarmness. Everywhere I go, I find lukewarmness. I don't find that zeal for God. I don't find those things, my friend. But he says, I would that thou wert hot or cold, one or the other. Cold is refreshing, my friend. And then hot is healing. Don't you like a cold drink of water? I know out on the farm when I was a boy, I was raised on a farm down there in South Louisiana. We had a little shallow well. We called it a dug well. We dug it, my dad did, with a shovel and dug it about 15 or 20 feet deep. And we had a bucket that we let down in there. It's about 4 foot square. And we'd come in out of the field on a hot, dusty day. And he'd say, son, go out there to the well and get me a cold drink of water. Get it out of that north corner that was... Like it would be cooler in the north corner than it would. But we'd go out there, my brother and I, we had a little old windlass up there on the top of it, and we'd let that bucket down by the bell with a little small rope, and we'd duck it under and bring a bucket of cool water and run carry it to my dad with a dipper sitting on the front porch in the shade. Oh, cold, my friend, is refreshing. And then heat, hot, warm, is healing. Don't you like to have a good warm bed to get in the wintertime? I do. Thinking about my dad, oftentimes we would live in an old country house. It was so open, the cold would come in. We had a big old fireplace in the winter. And one of us children, myself or my brother, we'd kind of have a little puny little cold or something. And we'd go get in the bed, and it would be cold in that room. And we only had a fire in the fireplace room, we call it. And he would take an aisle for the stove and heat it there in the fireplace and wrap it up in a thick towel or even a smoothing iron. We didn't have any electricity or anything. He'd bring an iron or an aisle off the stove, a lid off the stove, and wrap it up in a heavy towel and bring it and put it to our feet on a cold winter night. just to keep us warm. And it's healing, my friend. The warm is healing. And the Lord said, I wish that thou wert either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, now my friend, the Lord hates lukewarmness. The Lord hates for you and me to be lukewarm. In one place in the scriptures we find that I must be up about my Father's business. And I guess one of my determining factors here in this ministry is that I expect our people to be up and about our Father's business. If you're working in the Lord's work, be up and about His business. If you're giving out tracts, be up and about it. If you're witnessing for the saving grace of God, standing behind a pulpit somewhere, our young brethren go out on Sunday nights and preach, I tell them, be up and about the Father's business. Don't be slothful. No, because the Lord hates those things. And then He says, since you're neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Oh, my friend, what a terrible thing. He says, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and knowest not. Listen now. Because I am rich, thou sayest I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing and knowest not. Listen to my condition and your condition outside of Christ, outside of the saving grace of the Lord. Thou art knowest not that thou art wretched. Oh, What word describes, if you ever laying on the bed in a sickness when you've hurt all over and you can't get comfortable and you got fever and your bones ache and your joints ache and your back hurts and you just don't feel good, you're just wretched. It's just wretched, my friend, and then miserable. Same way with being miserable. You just can't get comfortable. The cover's too short and the bed's too long, the bed's too narrow. But listen, and then poor. Oh, my friend. Now, he doesn't mean poor in worldly goods here. He means poor spiritually and blind and naked. Oh, he says, I counsel thee. The Lord is so gracious. He says, I counsel thee. I advise thee. I recommend to thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich and white raiment that thou might be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Can you remember, believer, when the Lord opened your eyes to see that you were a sinner? A poor old lost sinner? I can. I remember that graciously day by day because I was walking around thinking I was somebody come, thinking I had something that the world knew nothing about. No, I was just a wretched, miserable sinner. Oh, I was enjoying life, I thought, but listen, no, but the Lord anointed my eyes with eye salve. He peeled back the scales from my eyes, as it were, and let me see just a little bit of my heart. How that I ran after sin, how that I longed after sin, how that I enjoyed the pleasures of the world, and that how critical I was of this one and that one, things that I didn't agree with, how that I took issue with everything seemingly in the world. But my friend, I was wretched and miserable. And the Lord anointed my eyes, and He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. Do you know anything about the rebuking of Christ? The Lord, when He called me here to the pastor of this church, He gave me that verse. He says, go forth and preach the gospel. Rebuke, reprove, and rebuke with all long-suffering. Surely we're to be long-suffering if we're to be like the blessed Lord, because He's long-suffering with us, my friend. Had the Lord not been long-suffering with me, and most probably with you, you would have been cast out of His presence many, many, many years ago because of your infidelity, because of your hatred for God. You say, oh, I don't hate God. Yes, you do. Every individual hates God by nature because he does not want God to rule over him. He wants his own way. He wants to have his own way and he's have his own will. That's right, my friend. But he says, as many as I love. Isn't that grace? I look back on my time at home as a boy. I know my dad loved me, but he often rebuked me. And he used to say, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I didn't ever believe that until I had children of my own. And I know it. I know it was true then. When I had to correct my own, I usually suffered for a day or two after I got them straightened out with a strap. But my friend, listen, he says, I rebuke and chasten. Chastening, the chastening work of the Lord, how it keeps us straight, my friend. And listen now, he says, I stand at the door. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I missed those verses. Be zealous and repent. Oh, listen, we don't hear much about repentance today, do we? I brought a message recently, one night, here, on preach repentance and remission of sin. The Lord says there in Luke, I forget, 24, I believe it is, to preach repentance and remission of sin. And that's what we preach here, along with the grace of God, the love of God, the sovereignty of God, the election of God, the foreknowledge of God, the predestination of God. We preach repentance unto the dying and unto a lost and dying world. My friend, did you know that repentance is necessary to salvation? We don't hear it no more, do we? We don't hear it anymore. Our modern day preachers and pastors are afraid to preach repentance, or either they don't know about it, they're ignorant and blinded to the fact that the Lord requires you to repent. The Lord Jesus said there in Luke 13, repent, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. John the Baptist stood there and preached repentance. He said the axe must be laid to the root of the tree. And he says, repent. Who hath warned you bunch of serpents and snakes to flee from the wrath of God? I tell you to repent or perish. But my friend, we don't hear it anymore. Why? Because the gospel has been watered down over the time. Satan has taken over many of our pulpits, taken over many of our theological schools, and many of our pastors are blinded by Satan. Many run after the world to suck the tit of the world so that they might enjoy this life, and they never think that they're going to have to stand one day and meet that congregation there before the great white throne judgment. And their congregation is going to rail on them and say, Pastor, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you warn me to flee? Why didn't you warn me to flee from the wrath to come? My friend, folks whom I minister to and preach to, by God's grace, they're not going to be able to say, Trailblazer, why didn't you tell me? Because I tell you day in and day out, flee from the wrath to come. Come under the blood tree. Come there, seeking mercy. Come there, forsaking sin. Come there, confessing your sin. Come there, admitting and acknowledging that you're only a sinner and that you need a substitute. You know anything about a substitute, my friend? The Lord Jesus Christ became the old trailblazer substitute one day. Took my place. Yes, he just stood in my place. I should have gone there to the cross and died and went to hell. But no, our Lord, my Lord, took my place. And he tells the Father now, when I walk out of his will, he says, he's one of mine. Old Pendarvis is one of mine, Father. I paid his sin debt. He doesn't owe anything. I paid it. I paid all his sin debt. Don't charge that sin to him. Charge it to my account. Oh, my friend, can you say that? Can you look up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me? I can. Lord, thank you for saving the old trailblazer. Thank you for giving me this microphone and this ministry to send out the gospel. Perchance that one poor soul here, one there, one out there on the forks of the creek, one out there in the little country church, one out there on the backside of the desert somewhere, or one in the penthouse. Oh, my friend, that you might come to see yourself as a lost sinner and flee to Christ before it's too late. I warn you to flee. I warn you to flee. The Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. And any man that open the door, I'll come in and eat supper with him. I wish I could do that with you, my friend. Come eat supper with you sometime. Drink a cup of coffee and tell you that Christ loves you. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Remember my mailing address? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.